We are in Genesis chapter 2, but if you would put a marker, because we're going to all turn there, to Exodus chapter 20, we'll all turn there, and then we'll probably end up going to Isaiah chapter 1 as well, just to kind of give you a heads up in advance. We've been looking at a portion of our study and looking intently at the Sabbath. Last week we talked about that. And I left us with three questions last week. What is it for? Or what is the Sabbath? And must we as Christians keep it? The second thing. And the third thing is, how do we keep it? How do we keep the Sabbath? And if you recall, last week we looked at the first three verses of Genesis 2. And again, after the heavens and the earth were created, if you recall, in verse 1 of chapter 2, look there with me. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Verse 3, and then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. And if you remember, I shared explicitly that God did not need to take a siesta after he created everything. He didn't need to rest. He doesn't get tired, okay? And I did share with you that that word rest meant he ceased from working. He took a Sabbath. He finished his work, is what it meant. And I share with it, I explain of where all the different views of the Sabbath that we see or that exist in Christendom today, where they came from. And we saw on the seventh day that God rested. And that Hebrew word is Shabbat. And so that's where we get the word Sabbath from. He took leave of it. Why? Because he finished his work. There was no reason to continue on. Unlike us who have home projects, we never can. We only take a physical rest from them because they're ongoing, right? We're not like God. We can't just snap a finger and everything's finished. If it was, that would be so cool. Mm-hmm. But we can't. But everything that needed to be created in the heavens and the earth was created, except for one last item, and we're going to talk about that more in a little bit. And when we look at the Word of God, it's so important for us to see what is there and what is not there as well. This is one of the ways that you can be able to learn intently, not reading into what is not there. Sometimes people have a tendency to do that, or they don't really actually see what is there. For example, in the verses that we looked at today that deal with the Sabbath, what do we see in verse 3? What do we not see in verse 3? It says, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had made.
He didn't mention evening or morning.
Okay, so we don't see the evening or morning, which we'll talk about more about in a little bit, and the reason why it's not there. But what else do we not see in there?
That it is good.
Okay, no, that was in verse 31 of chapter 1, remember? So what we don't see in there is an edict given by God to man about the Sabbath, do we?
Oh.
He doesn't say, in the Sabbath, you shall do this, right? It simply says, he rested, his Sabbath, from all that he had done. Go ahead, Roy.
Finished.
He stopped creating. He did not leave anything undone, okay? And with that, there would be no need for anything to evolve, because he finished it. He created everything. So I'm not really quite sure where the evolutionists get their stuff from. If, in fact, God created everything in those 6 days, which he did, right? So what we see here is that he sanctified it, right? He set it apart from other days of creation. And we talked last week how there was no day or night mentioned in there, morning or evening mentioned in there. And one of the reasons why is on that seventh day, and I shared with the group, was that because it's never ended. He continues to want what he did to be sanctified. He wants us to remember all that he did in those 6 days. God's not like us, where we want people to recognize the things that we do. I don't know about you, but my heart is like that. Did you notice that I, you know, mowed the yard? Not as good as Danny did last week, but I mowed the yard. I want people to come up and say, oh, Al, you mowed your yard. even though I will say I don't do as good as Danny Hagopian does. But we want to be recognized. Today, Facebook is filled with that. I don't know how people take pictures of themselves. They call them selfies, right? But I guess because in the era that we all grew up in, because everybody in here is over 50, but you would look real dumb holding your camera out, taking a picture of yourself with your camera. What did we used to do? We get someone to take a picture of.
Or we set the timer.
Or set a timer, yeah, and run. Yeah. Now we just look at what I'm doing, right? It's like my sister would ask me, how come I haven't seen any pictures of your work on Facebook? Because nobody needs to see what I'm doing. Besides that, if I put it on there, I'm like, oh, brother, there goes Al again. Want us to see what he's doing. But notice that he didn't institute at this time that we were to take a day off and rest, right? He didn't say that in there. So what is it speaking of? Well, let's look at verse 2 and 3 again. Would somebody else read that for me so I can rest my voice? Verses 2 and 3.
And by the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his works, which he had done. And then God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made.
Amen. Amen. The word blessed means to kneel. Okay, he blessed that day. It means to kneel, to praise, to salute, or to thank. That's what we do on Memorial Weekend, right? We remember those who went and died for service to this country, that we would be free. So we memorialize them, we salute them, we give them praise for all that they've done, right? The word sanctify, we know, means to set apart, right? But it also speaks of to be clean, to consecrate, to dedicate, to hallow, to keep holy. That's what sanctify means. That's what God said. He sanctified that day. And by the way, it's man who is writing this. Moses is writing this about what God did. This isn't God saying it. It's him talking about that. So as we read those two verses again, what is that God is setting a pattern for us? Remember I shared this last week? Those verses are setting a pattern for you and I. So what is the pattern that he's setting up for us?
That we rest.
Okay.
We set the day apart.
Okay.
Show me
where it says that. Let me read it again.
I got you, because he did.
Okay. Very good, Sherry. And on the seventh day, watch how this goes. And this is what I underlined in my work. If you want to underline it in yours, you're going to see something. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from what? All his work, which he had done. Notice how many times he's saying that. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. So the pattern that he set for us is for us to remember all that he did and to revere what he created. He didn't say in there, Moses didn't specify in there that, and therefore we need to do this and we need to do that. And how many of you just do not like rules and regulations in the church? If you're a Christian, you can't do this. You can't mow your lawn on Saturday or you're in trouble, right? Or you can't mow it on the Sabbath or else you're not saved. And so that answers our first question of what is the Sabbath of the three? And it is to remember him and all that he has done for us. See, at first glance, we wouldn't even see that. We wouldn't pay attention to that. But if you underline all those things, just in those two verses, you have to admit that God did everything. Linda and I joke sometimes when she asks me to do something, you know, I'll walk around and go, man, I have to do everything around here. I know it's not true, but we joke about that. But Linda does. But in these two verses, what did man do? Nothing. He wasn't even here. It was God who did it. And so I have a question for you. Well, first of all, the Sabbath is a day to be elevated above all other days as a memorial to remember the glory of God's perfection in creation. That's what the Sabbath is. We need to remember what he did. Stay with me, because when I get to the end, you're going to realize. But I have a question for us. When did our world, our existence, or even our salvation become about anything that we have done? We've made it that, though, haven't we? I gave my heart to the Lord in 1986. That's a lot different than saying the Lord captured my heart and I surrendered my life back then. In testimonies of people's lives, that's why I love hearing the testimonies you heard today. They were not bragamonies, they were testimonies. Why? Because we know the truth of what happened. They were knocked down, drug out, beat down, couldn't even get up, and God rescued them. It's amazing. He did it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even, and like Roy said, he went to Detroit Lake, and he didn't say, and therefore I decided that I wanted to spend time with God. He said, God put it to me. Go get your book. We got something to say. Don't you love that? I like that in the book of Job, God did the same thing when Job was complaining because his other friends were complaining. And he tells Job, I think it's in chapter 42, aren't you glad that we had the end of Job? If only he had it, he'd have known as much as us, right? But God told him then, Job, come here, I want to talk to you, and I'm going to address you as a man. So I want you to act like a man. And he begins that diatribe of, Job, where were you when I did this? Where were you when I did that? And so to all of us, he would say, where were you when I created the heavens and the earth and everything in it? You were nowhere to be found. But one of the ways of seeing how it did become about us was when we look at when God made a covenant with the Israelites. When all of this started in Genesis 2, there's no mention of the Sabbath being a law. It wasn't being set up. There's no mention of it as being a day of worship. And the next time you even run into that is in Exodus chapter 16. Hundreds of years by that time have already passed. The patriarchs have come and gone. None of them have worshiped, as far as we know, on the Sabbath, because there was no instruction for it. You could say that it was designated for them, but it was not prescribed for them. It wasn't something that they were supposed to do, and it wasn't mandated for them. Not for Abraham. We don't read it anywhere. Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Joseph and the rest of the people of God, it was not mandated that they must worship on the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, the first time the Sabbath is mentioned is what I said earlier in Exodus 16. What happened during that time, if you remember? God feeds the people manna from heaven, right? They're wandering off in the wilderness. Wilderness can be a great place to come out of, right, Roy? But you don't want to stay in the wilderness. You want to come out of it. A lot of things happen in the wilderness. And the manna comes every day for them, except for the Sabbath day. And you remember, he told them, go and collect what you need for that day. Oh, how we've kind of ruined that, right? I mean, entitlement mentality, where people go and they hoard things. God says, only take up what you can for the day. What happened to it when they had too much? Well, they would go and try to...
Spoiled.
Yeah, spoiled. It would get rotten. But every day they had that, except the Sabbath day. And on the day before that, God would say, go and take double what you're going to need. Because he didn't want them working on it, so they didn't have to work on that day. And that gives them a little preview of what was about to come. Because in the 20th chapter of Exodus, we have another important thing. What was it? The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were a prescription, and they're given that and setting down a set of laws for the Sabbath day. It's important to know that this is the first time that any such laws have been given by God. We didn't see it in Genesis. It wasn't there. But this is very important so that we understand that the Sabbath was not instituted for man in Genesis. First of all, in this chapter, Adam isn't even created yet. God is going to create him. But it was instituted officially in Exodus in the law of Moses. And a further understanding of that comes from Exodus chapter 31, verse 12. In Exodus 31, verse 12, if you're taking notes, where the Lord speaks to Moses in a verse, and he says to him, listen to this, "As for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbath, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Therefore, you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. For 6 days, work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath, they shall surely be put to death. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant." Keep that in mind. So we see that this sign is given to who? To the Jews. But even today, they will tell you you're reading into that. That should still take place for today. But it was to the Jews to remember all that God had done for them. I have a sneaky suspicion they may have forgotten what God did for them. Okay? He said, "It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever." Why? "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, but on the seventh day he ceased and was refreshed," or rested. He stopped. He wants them to remember, "I am the one who did all this. You didn't do it. I did." But Israel must have forgot what God had done. So he says, well, think about it. When Moses was up on top of the hill and he was getting the commands from God, what were the people doing?
Partying.
What's that?
Partying.
Yeah, they were partying. Forming a golden calf, right? They're looking, going, "I don't think Moses is coming back. I think God ate him up. So let's form our own little religion, right? We have an idol. It's going to be a golden calf." But here we find that the Sabbath is a sign. Think about that for a moment. It's a sign that points to something else. It's a symbol, if you will, okay? And it's placed in the middle or near the middle of the Ten Commandments. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 20. It's a symbol connected to the Mosaic Covenant is what it is. Exodus chapter 20. But before we look at that, let me see if I can help us understand this just a little bit better, the issue of a sign, okay? We remember early on I said that we like to say, or we have learned, that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, right? Mm-hmm. In the Old Testament, God gave us signs, different covenants. One of them, well, let's see, one that you will understand completely. God made a covenant with Noah, and he promised Noah that he would never destroy the world again, and God identified a sign. What was the sign? A rainbow. By the way, that belongs to God, not to anyone else, not to any institution, not to any group of people. The rainbow belongs to God, okay? And when God made the covenant with Abraham, he made that covenant with Abraham, and he designed a sign. And the sign for Abraham's covenant was the participation among the covenant people Israel. The sign was circumcision. That was the sign that they had. And before we look at Exodus, here we have the Mosaic Covenant. And it's another sign. And the sign, this time, is the Sabbath. Why do I say that? Well, we're going to see in a second. Before we look at that, though, I'm reminded of something. I'm reminded of a dialogue that took place between Jesus and some religious leaders in the Gospel of Mark. In the end of Mark chapter 2 and the beginning of Mark chapter 3, Jesus is being accused of something. He's being accused of violating the Sabbath. And they said that he violated the Sabbath according to their standards. When they confronted him, he said two things. He said, "Man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man." That was so cool, because he's lining things up and saying, man was not made for the Sabbath. Where did that come from? What that says is the Sabbath was not to be a burden which men had to conform to. We in the church sometimes have put burdens on people, right? I can remember coming, the church I got saved in, everybody wore a suit. You were a freak if you came in without a shirt and tie. I don't know why, but I'll tell you what, there was freedom the first time I was able to take that off. We put that burden on them. A lot of it was because what are the people going to think? You come in dressed like that in casual clothes. I know in Calvary, one of the big things was that, you know, you come in as contemporary music and you come as you are in your comfy clothes. Well, even that can be something that we put on ourselves to say, well, you don't have to come dressed up. I mean, it'd be kind of nice. I mean, one thing I don't think I've ever lost is Sunday best. That's cool. Give God your best when you go. Don't go in your pajamas. I mean, can you? Sure, I think you can. Especially in this area, you know, that people wear the pajamas out in public. But what are you going there for? Are you going there for your comfort? Or are you going there to learn and to worship God? So the Sabbath was not to be a burden for men to conform to, but the Sabbath was to be a delight that everyone could enjoy. But the Jews had turned it into an almost unbearable burden. You could. I remember when we were in Israel. Anybody else been to Israel? I remember when we got there, our first Friday. Okay, whatever you're going to get, make sure you get it by sundown Friday because it's Sabbath. And you can't buy anything. You can't go to the store. They're not open. You can't do this. You can't do that. And yet none of them there. I shouldn't say no. Jesus is not the Messiah to them. I'm thinking, holy cow. Well, not holy cow, but that would be Hindu. I can edit that out. They worship the Sabbath rules that they had put on themselves. Jesus said that Sabbath wasn't made for man, but man for the Sabbath. The second thing he said, which was even more shocking, was that the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. That about set them on edge. That almost made them lose their mind. What was he doing? He declared that his sovereignty over the Sabbath. Jesus is the Sabbath. People do not like to hear that. If you love Jesus, you don't have a problem with that. If you love religion, you got a big problem with that because it spits in the face of your religion. When Jesus is sovereign over the Sabbath, he is the Sabbath. But in Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, and near the middle of the Ten Commandments is the fourth commandment. So let's begin in verse 8. We're going to look right at the fourth one. Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. What do you find strange about that commandment? By the way, it's given more verses than any other commandment in there. There's no question about the other 9 commandments being permanent and binding. We are to have no other gods. We're not to make an idol of anything or to worship. We're to worship only the true and living God. We're never to take the Lord's name in vain. We're not to dishonor our mother and father, but rather give them honor. We're not to murder, right? Commit adultery, steal or lie or covet. Those are all moral mandates. Moral commands, if you will, with the exception of verses 8 through 11. The fourth command is regarding the Sabbath, and it's been given more attention than the other ones. Not that the other ones are not important. And the question that is often posed is a simple one. If all the other commandments are permanent, then isn't the fourth permanent as well? We read earlier, who was it instituted for? The Israelites. Right? We've developed denominations, if you can believe, out of this verse. The Seventh-day Adventist, the Seventh-day Baptist, if you can believe it. Anybody heard of that? The Seventh-day Baptist, yeah. they're all known as Sabbatarians who use this verse to justify their existence in there. But just like the Jews, who they say, we must keep that, they keep it with really kind of a deceitful heart, because a lot of those two religions or denominations that I told you about have other laws that they give to their people. For the Seventh-day Adventists, they have dietary laws, which today you should follow them, right? I tell the story of our first neighbor, I should say, our first Oregon neighbor, who, wonderful man. Oh, gosh, he was 80 years old, 82. And the very first thing he confronted me with was prayer. And I loved it. He was an old guy. Seventh-day Adventist. And what was really weird, though, is that we got to watch him as he went into glory. And his biggest wish on his deathbed was to ask him, what would you like as your final meal? He said, fried chicken and mashed potatoes. Something that they are not allowed to have. But he wanted fried chicken. I looked at him and said, what difference does it make? He's going to glory. He wants chicken, give him chicken. That's not going to keep him from heaven. But there's no question that all of those are important. But what's happened is these people have forced laws on their people, just as the Jews did, and made the Sabbath what it was not. Why is that important for us to know? There were times in the Old Testament where people observed the Sabbath with a deceitful heart, and the Lord rejected it. It's going to be heavy, or kind of heavy, but if you're in Isaiah chapter 1, would you turn there with me? I asked you to put a marker in there, and Al didn't even put a marker. Isaiah chapter 1. I'm sure glad I don't have it. Isaiah 1, beginning in verse 11. As a matter of fact, 11 through, let's see. Who would like to read 11 through 20? Anybody?
I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to meet with me, who has asked this of you? This trampling of my courts. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moon, Sabbath, and convocations. I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me, and weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Ouch. The Sabbath, these folks were doing things that they had drummed up by their own religious leaders that were never what God intended. Matter of fact, he's saying there, when you stretch your arms out, what's he saying? When you're praying, you got your arms stretched, I'm not going to listen. I'm going to have nothing to do with that, because what they were doing at that time is they were carrying on with their religious ideologies, observing their Sabbath, the blood moons, the new moons, on and on. What was God saying? I'm not impressed with that. Why would God be impressed with a blood moon? He created it. He's not impressed with himself. That's why we've come to a place where we put more emphasis into that than we do into the creation. But the Sabbath was a reminder of creation. It also was to remind the people of Israel that they had forfeited paradise because of sin, because of the fall. We had forfeited that. In here, he tells them that if you do this, this is what's going to happen. The law said to them, obey this law and you will be blessed. And God said that repeatedly, obey this law and you will be blessed. But not only would they be blessed, but righteous behavior would also point to a future kingdom when paradise would be regained. See, even during this time, God in his infinite wisdom already knew that Jesus would be the replacement for the Sabbath. So what good is it if people go out and they worship, but worship with an evil heart? God, he institutes the seventh day system, not for everybody in the world. In fact, specifically it says for Israel themselves. Verse 17, it says, "A sign between me and the sons of Israel forever." Every seventh day was a reminder that we're living in a fallen world. God created, he built it up, and on the seventh day, he rested. Matter of fact, before he rested from it, took leave of his work, what did he say in chapter 1, verse 31? And God said, "It is very good." Everything that he created, it was very good. One of the things that we have to remember and to consider the importance of obeying God and what he has instructed us as Christians. The Ten Commandments were a way to measure their lives up in holiness against them. So my question for us is, people who desire to keep the Ten Commandments, how are you doing in that? See, that's one of the things that's really, well, I remember when I first got saved, that was the thing you had to do. Why? Nobody told me that Jesus was the Sabbath. You need to keep the Sabbath day. Are you working on Sunday? Yeah, I have to. I work for the police department. I don't get to tell them, look, I'm a Christian, and the Bible says I can't work on Sunday. That would be poor interpretation of rendering that verse. It's poor exegesis of that verse, by the way. Because if that is true, then what are pastors doing working on Sunday? Think about that for a moment. What are children's ministry workers doing working on Sunday? Well, we're doing it for the Lord. Are you getting paid? I can remember, I probably shouldn't go into that story. I remember when Linda was a children's ministry director and the pastor wasn't going to let her have certain Sundays off for us to go visit family in California. I said, well, you can take it off because you're not an employee on Sunday. You don't get paid for Sunday. I said, but watch, what he's going to do is he's going to start paying you for Sunday. The next week, he started paying her for Sunday. So she couldn't take off. Smarter than the average bear. But the first seventh day identified God as the creator. But the institution of the Sabbath in the Mosaic economy identified God as the lawgiver. That's where God instituted the law. Why? They were running amok. They needed something to keep them focused on who God was and what God did. The difference between the people of that time and Moses, what did he say when he was up on Mount Sinai with God? What did he say? You remember? I want to see you. The people had no desire to see him. They were complaining to Moses. You brought us here in the desert to die. We had it made when we were slaves. At least we got onions and leeks. We can eat whatever we want. Now we got to eat this stuff called manna. You're trying to kill us. But God instituted the law and he became the lawgiver. And the first view was to produce gratitude for the wonder of creation. And the second was to produce repentance for the forfeiture of all that is right. They needed to repent before God because of everything he had done for them. They'd forgotten. Have we forgotten sometimes? I know I have. I can say, oh, I never do. You forget sometimes when I start complaining that, you know, this isn't working right. Yet I look back on all the things that God did do for me. But also, the Sabbath took on a new meaning. Today, we observe the Sabbath in Jesus. Remember I said it was a sign, it was a shadow of things to come? When Jesus came, everything changed. Remember during the Passover this last year, we looked at Jesus going into the temple and turning over tables. Remember that? What he did was not cleansing the temple, though we call it that. It was about the abolishing of the temple. People no longer had to go to the temple to worship God. They could remember him. He didn't just want to eliminate the bad priest out of there and keep the good ones. He eliminated the priesthood. Why? Because he now became the priest. Everything pointed to him. He just didn't want to clean up the people's attitudes as they gave their sacrifices. He obliterated the sacrificial system. Why? Because he became the Lamb of God that was sent into the world for the forgiveness of sins. There was no need for sacrifices anymore. All of the ceremonies, the rituals, all of the sacrifices, all of the external trappings, the temple, the Holy of Holies, all of it, including the Sabbath, all of it. Jesus came to take it over. So the Sabbath observance, it went away with all the rest that belonged to Judaism. That's why I don't understand how people today, they're not satisfied with Protestantism. They don't want to be Jews, so they develop something in between. See, there's a movement called the Hebrew Roots Movement, which they say if you really are a true Christian, you will follow all of these rituals that the Jews have had to do along the way. Well, what you're doing is you're falling back into the law. Who is it? Paul to the Galatians says, "You foolish Galatians, who is betwixt you? Who has came in and fooled you into thinking that you've got to go back and do all that stuff?" And as much as I'm even sharing this right now and it's being recorded, people are going to blast me for it and saying, it's wrong for you to say that. But the Sabbath observance all went away during that time. We begin to understand this by watching Jesus and how he treated the Sabbath. They told him it was wrong for him to heal on the Sabbath.
That's right.
Lorelai and Roy, wouldn't you like to be healed of your pain and a heartache? You don't care what day it is. Lord, just heal me and I will be healed. But they told Jesus, it's wrong for you to do that. You heal the blind man. That guy can see now, and you did it on the Sabbath. For shame, for shame, for shame. I just wonder, just for a second, what Jesus must have thought when they said that to him. I know what I would have thought, but I'm not Jesus. But how did Jesus treat the Sabbath? Absolutely any way he wanted to. He was the Sabbath. He's the mediator we know of. He is the new covenant, the better covenant. And if he is the new covenant, why would we hang on to the old one with all its rules and regulations? But another thing, it's important to notice that just as he obliterated the sacrificial system, he also obliterated the Sabbath system. So we as Christians should keep the Sabbath. Should we keep the Sabbath as Christians? You betcha. How? We keep remembering Jesus. That's how we keep the Sabbath. I remember about 7 years ago, there was a president, I won't mention his name, but he said, "I worship Jesus every Sunday." You numbskull, he's the Sabbath. You worship him every day. Every day is the Sabbath if you have Jesus in your life. In Genesis, we remember creation. And in the New Testament, we remember Jesus and all that he did for you and me in our fallen state. In the beginning, God created. And in the New Testament, the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word was Jesus. We're called to live in holiness. And what we need to know is that we can't do it without him. We can't. I hear all the time, I heard a message this week about being holy, being godly, and how we need to do better, be better. And to me, that's all garbage, because I don't know about you, but every time I try to be better and do better, I don't do it. I line myself up with Paul, who says, the things that I know I'm supposed to do, I don't do, and the things that I want to do, I don't do. Who can save me, this wretched man that I am? We won't be better, and we cannot do better apart from knowing Jesus Christ. We can't. It will never be enough to just know of him. And that's what we are dealing with in the church today. A lot of people know of him, but they don't know him. They don't gnosko him. They don't have that intimate relationship with him. They just try to be a good Christian. I know what that's like, but just trying now to be a good Christian is not going to cut it. Basically, all that is just trying to clean up our act. There's a lot of clean, I love, who was it that said that unless you have Christ, if you clean up your life, then all you're going to be is a cleaned up sinner. But unless you have Christ, you're not going to be forgiven for that. It's like trying to keep the Ten Commandments. How do we do with that? I didn't do very well with it when I first got saved. Well, I need to, somebody told me you got to keep the Ten Commandments. It was crazy. I think I blew it on the first one. Why do I say that? You might say, well, not me. I would never do that. But we abuse them over and over. You ever had hate in your heart for someone? Jesus said in Matthew 5:21 that murder begins in the heart. John in his epistle in 1 John 3:15, if you're taking notes, he says, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Prior to that, he says, how can you say that you love God who you cannot see and you hate your brother who you can see, right? Well, I don't hate him. I've even had people say, hate is such a strong word. Well, God used it. He said, I hate your sin. I hate this. But I want to close with the verses that we looked at last week. If you would turn to 2 Peter for me. Speaking of how we are to observe the Sabbath, by the way, who is Jesus? 2 Peter chapter 3. I can even think of in my heart, in the school of ministry, you know, when you would, the professor would tell you, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. It's like, well, I know where that is. And you would turn there, and your heart is so full of yourself because you're looking at all the people that didn't know where it was, and they're supposed to be Bible teachers, right? And you think you're better than they are. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, look at your heart, Al. God wants, he wants you to die. I remember sitting in front of a pastor one time and praying, and he says, this is on a Wednesday night, he said, Lord, kill us. And I opened my eyes and I looked around. What is he saying? Lord, kill that flesh in us that seeks after self. So how do we observe the Sabbath? 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Verse 17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. In this study, we looked at what the Sabbath was and what it is for you and me. We looked at why Christians should observe it. And now, how should we keep the Sabbath? How do we keep it? Well, two ways. Don't observe it legalistically. Don't add things in there. We can even do the same, well, Jesus is the Sabbath, therefore I worship him every day. Every day is the Sabbath day for us, right? In, I think it was the 1600s, with the Puritans, they established Sunday as the day that we would go and worship God. For the Seventh-day Adventists, they thought Saturday because it was the Sabbath as instituted in the law of Moses. So they claim it's got to be that day. So what day is the Sabbath? It really isn't a day anymore, is it? We have the day of the Lord, but the Sabbath is Jesus, and we worship him. And the Bible tells us to worship God how? In spirit and in truth, right? And so you don't observe it legalistically, meaning don't put that on somebody else. If somebody says, well, we worship him on Fort Hill on Saturday night. Well, that's the convenient time that we all get together, have great food, fellowship, and the Word of God. The other way is to observe it joyfully before the Lord. Don't let it be a burden. Oh, I got to go to Fort Hill. How many of you know you don't have to come here? Well, we don't have to. We want to. Why? Because it's him. We're going to worship him. But Jesus came to set the captives free, didn't he? He didn't come to oppress us by keeping rules and regulations. It's nice to be able to read the Bible and know what we're supposed to do, though, right? What is pleasing to the Lord? We look at it in his word. He didn't abolish the rules. He came and he fulfilled them because you and I could not keep them. So my question is, why would we keep trying to do that? We need to stop and we need to rest from it. We need to stop working at trying to please God and just please him with our life. How do we do that? By remembering all that he did for us. He created. And on the seventh day, he rested from all that he had made. And he sanctified it because all that he created and all that he had made. Nowhere in there are we even mentioned in there. There is no mention of night and day in verse, or in chat, I should say, in the seventh day. And the reason why is because that rest is still continuing to this day. He did all the work so that we won't have to. So you don't need to go work for your salvation. Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What he's saying there is, hey, make sure that you are approved and attested to prove that, yes, I am a Christian. Why? Because of what Jesus did. Not because I went to, you know, Calvary Chapel or the Baptist Church or wherever, because of what he did. If you try to work for your salvation, you're not saved. People hate when I say that. The two cannot mutually exist. It cannot be, well, God created everything, right? Jesus came and he died on the cross and took away all of our sin, right? Not some of it. He didn't say, I'm going to do this much for you and then you do the rest. He did it all. What did he say? His last words up there. It is finished. Don't keep trying to work. Rest from it. He also said, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
Rest. He didn't say, I'm going to give you some cool rules. I'm going to give you rest. Because we are resting in Jesus. To observe the Sabbath is to rest in his name and all that he's done for us. Plain and simple. We need to remember what God did. And those first three verses of chapter 2 tell us that. The heavens and the earth and all of the host of them were finished. And then it goes on the diatribe of everything that God did. The seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. And then God blessed that seventh day and he sanctified it because in it he rested from all his work, which he had created and made. So the Old Testament, the Sabbath was for them to remember all that God has done. And for you and I, it's to remember that not only did God do that, all of that, because remember I said on our first study, if you don't believe the first five verses of Genesis 1, the rest of the book's not going to matter to you. In the beginning, God created. And if you believe that, then this Bible's going to come alive to you. That's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus being the Word. He is our Sabbath. So when somebody comes to you and says, do you observe the Sabbath? Every stinking day I do. It's Jesus. He's the Sabbath. There will be people who will come to try to teach you otherwise and give heed to it. But in your hearts, just go back to those three verses. It's about him. That's what the Sabbath is about. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, I want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Lord, you created everything, and you said it was good. You created everything in our lives, Lord. Everything around us. There was nothing around us that you have not created. And Lord, with that, you have given us an opportunity to worship you. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that you are using your Son for us to look to you. Because when we see him, we have seen the Father. And so, Lord, we are just amazed by you and all that you have done in this world. And may we always give an account for what you have done, that you have even done it through us, Lord. Anything that we have done in our lives that had anything to do for you and with you was because of you. So thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.